Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin.
On 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
To the Fan. It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank is out today. He's out tomorrow. Martin, Charlie Marlowe here handling things till 1 o'clock on the Press Box on 590 The Fan. The Midday Grind coming your way. Also, Joe Buck coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Press Box. Joining us right now, the longtime theater teacher. He's not quite at emeritus yet, but Tom Murray, my friend from CBC. Another big weekend coming up with A Christmas Story at the Gundaker Theater. Mr. Murray, how are you?
Hello, my beloved former student. I am great.
You know, even though I'm almost 50, I still see my former teachers, and it's Mr. Like, you are still Mr. Murray to me.
It's pretty scary. I'm teaching grandchildren of people that I taught.
Wow.
So all right. I figure it's about time. Just call me Tom.
This weekend, am I hearing correctly? Is it already sold out? A Christmas Story that you're presenting at the CBC Theater, the Gundaker Theater. Are tickets available?
We still have some tickets left for Saturday night. It's a 7:30 show, and they can get tickets by contacting me at CBC, but Friday and Sunday are sold out.
Have you been doing A Christmas Story most years, or how rare is this?
This is the first year we've done it. The show itself, and the movies, the movie's been out since the 80s, but the Broadway show just came out a couple of years ago, and it's only been released to the public and to schools for a couple of years. So this is our first shot at it.
And so, again, some tickets remain, but not many. If they want to contact you directly, beautiful theater, great. I know my sister's going with my nephew to see it on Sunday. What's the best number for them to reach out for tickets?
The best way to get a hold of me is to email me at Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y-T, at cbchs.org, because we have those computers in front of us all day long.
All right, for you, I'm trying to do the math here. I got a little assist from my sources over there. Would this be around your 130th production over the years?
This is 132 right now, so... Well, 39 years I've been here at CBC, so that's going to add up.
132, Tom Murray. What else is on the docket this year, and when do you make those decisions? And I'm wondering if you have some students who are really good in the theater program, if they suggest shows that they want to do. How does that play out?
They do, and we kind of look at our talent and see what would be a good fit for them, and then we talk to the kids. And they give us suggestions. They're usually up on all the things that are, new and hot on Broadway, so we talk about it. This year we have Anything Goes coming up in the spring, followed by A Few Good Men. So that should be a fun year. We do talk to the kids and get an idea, but ultimately the decision rests with me and with Charlie Miller, who's our musical director.
And I know you're focused on the theater program, but the arts in general, as I talk about my alma mater, I want to point out things other than, it's great winning state championships, but the arts, we had a kid, a senior, who made all-state in guitar, the Christmas
Just
band.
Year in a row. Aiden Murrow, he's the all-state jazz guitar player for the state of Missouri. It's the second year in a row he's done that. He is an incredible musician. Just amazing. Our art program has a big show on the 12th. Our music program, there's a vocal concert on Wednesday the 13th and a band concert on Thursday the 14th, and those are both at 7 o'clock. So the arts are flourishing, and they are happening.
CBCHS.org, the best place to go for all information about all things CBC. Tom Murray, the longtime theater director, excuse me, Tom. He's no longer Mr. Murray. I'm too old now. It's Tom, and does a great job there with the theater program. A lot of fun things happening at the alma mater, CBCHS.org. And oh, by the way, we were out there when Cameron Babb got his special honor, the Army All-American, and the coolest thing is when that drum line rolls through. It reminds me of being like at a college football game, and I don't remember the drum line being a thing when I was in high school. Is that more recent?
Nope. Well, we've always had the percussion class, but we decided the drum line would be a great way for the fine arts program to support the athletic program. We work together like brothers for that's it. We are We are a great community here at CBC. We support each other.
Not only the legendary theater teacher, formerly Town Hall, one of my favorites, over there off of Skinker, back in the day.
Missed that place.
Back in the day.
A great place to grab a quick beer.
Tom, great to talk to you.
Thank you, Martin.
All right, Tom Murray, longtime theater teacher, and again, they have the Christmas Story this weekend. A lot of those shows are sold out, but he was my theater teacher, Charlie, back in the day. In fact, I took advanced theater and got college credit.
I was wondering here, now, were you in some of these productions, actually?
I never was on the stage.
Why not?
I think in some of our classes, we worked on lighting and some of the backstage work and
were
got
you IBW?
College credit. Yeah. I put in for Miss Lunch a couple of times.
I can see you with the lead role of some of these shows.
You know, I did that in grade school. Played the West Side Story, played the role of Tony. When you're a jet, you're a jet. Officer Crumpke, Crump you. There's a whole vibe there. I don't know, Hoffman's a lot younger than me, but there's kind of like the theater crowd. They always had like cool parties, and then they always knew all the girls because the girls were in the play from the different high schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole, it's just a whole nother vibe that I guess I wasn't included in, possibly. CBCHS.org for more information. A lot to get to on this show. And by the way, the trainer for the Giants is Ronnie. It is Ronnie. So Spags has moved from Reggie to Ronnie.
That's
Fun
perfect.
With audio with Chris Gardner. That is coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. And I think my idea was stolen by the Ringer. You may recall, Charlie, that we talked about the DNN. The Disgraced News Network, DNN. We even had audio for that. Somebody on The Ringer suggested a podcast syndication called the Pariah Podcasts. Because I guess the guy that works with Boomer Esiason, Gene Carton, he has a podcast because that's his only outlet now.
And so he still has that while he's battling these
gambling
allegations.
Crime charges. Fraud. And it's like... But the point was, and they said it would be called the Pariah Podcast. I'm like, no. It's DNN. It's the Disgraced News Network. But they said in spite of all of their flaws or whatever, people like Bill O'Reilly still have a huge following. So even this Gene Carton in the New York area probably still has a following. What is it?
Craig.
Who's Gene Carton?
I have no idea.
Let's look that up. Okay. Craig Carton.
Gene Carton. Okay, I can't imagine his lawyers are thrilled with that.
And I don't know if he delves in. It said that he's actually... poking fun at himself a little bit in some of the podcasts, but I imagine there's certain topics.
May I just guess here? I feel like you've mentioned Gene Carton before.
I think you're right.
Was he the random person that used to write sound off letters?
Yes, you're right.
That's exactly it.
And this
it.
Is crazy
found one.
I'm not even from St. Louis.
I think he's from Olivet.
Yes, you're right.
Yes, but this happened like a year ago.
You're right.
Where Martin randomly said the name Gene Carton, and then we went into this deep dive that he's this guy who wrote sound off letters 20 years ago.
That's right. So I'm repeating myself with a mistake because it's probably the day this story came out when Boomer Esiason's sidekick, Craig Carton, got busted that I started calling him Gene. Anyway, he's part of what could be called the Pariah Podcast. I like the DNN the better. I think it's a better choice, the Disgraced News Network with the fake James Earl Jones audio.
And some new additions. We don't mean to make light of this, but Al Franken... says he steps down. That just happened. And then Warren Moon now accused as well of sexual harassment.
We could put him into the Disgraced News Network. He's also the Seahawks radio analyst. They said he's taking a leave of absence. If you read the full story, it's a woman, I believe, that works for his foundation. And she said there were certain rules that she had to abide by.
Want me to read them?
Yeah, this is a little... This would be on the creeper meter. This is probably about a 10.
So I'm reading this from ESPN.com.
Alleged.
Yes, the lawsuit alleges that soon after Haskell, this woman's name is Wendy Haskell, she does want her name to be released. Soon after Haskell was hired in July 2017, Moon demanded that she, quote, submit to a variety of unnerving sexual and perverse controlling arrangements, including sleeping in the same bed with him on all business trips, providing him unfettered
Chuck
access.
Chuck and I had that at Fox 2 for a while until my new deal kicked in.
Providing him unfettered access to the bathroom every time she showered, so basically he could walk in while she was showering, wearing skimpy lingerie while in the obligatory single room, obtaining prior approval for her wardrobe, and being subjected to continuous, unwanted, and unsolicited sexual advances, end quote. They also went to Cabo together, where she claims he drugged her drink and then admitted to it because he said she wasn't, quote, having fun. So there you have it.
No, he thought she was having fun, right, or something? Or did he drug her because he said she needed to have a little more fun? Or he drugged her and said, I thought you were having fun with this?
According to the lawsuit, Moon drugged Haskell's drink without her consent during a business trip to Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Haskell said she began feeling strange and asked Moon if he had put something in her drink, which he then admitted to doing, she said, telling her he did so because he thought she wasn't, quote, okay, having fun, and that the drug would help liven it up.
That's a little creepy on the creepy meter. Drugging anybody in light of Bill Cosby, probably never a good idea, but especially now, not a good idea. Going on a trip and saying, okay, here's the deal. You sleep in the same bed as me. Need to wear certain lingerie. You can use the shower. And we're just saving money. I mean, we got to be, it's 2017. Budgets are tight. We're saving money. We'll just use the same room. You can use the shower, but you got to leave the door open. It's very specific. I think this is going to be a hard one for Warren Moon to get out of jail free, if I had to guess.
He also has some past allegations.
Domestic assault,
I believe. Misgivings with his then wife. They're now divorced. I guess the budget wasn't that tight if they're taking a, quote, business trip to Cabo San Lucas, where it seems like they're just kind of partying.
And then there's the Al Franken resignation, which you mentioned. The allegation against him included him saying to the woman, it's okay, I'm an entertainer, or something like, I get special privileges. Who would ever utter those lines? No, it's okay, I'm an entertainer. Unbelievable. Here's an update, a little housekeeping here.
Housekeeping.
Joe Buck's going to join us at 12:05. Jeff Rainford's going to join us at 11:30. We're doing a little juggling here.
So here we go. Okay, again, I was raking my
favorite
leaves.
Chip.
No. I was raking my leaves, and what happened was, I actually did get a text message back from my wife. She's mad at me right now.
So was she listening?
I don't know.
That's
if
the
she
best
was listening.
Way to find out if she's listening, or somebody texted her, like her dad, that was listening.
I think he does.
Said Charlie
listen.
Just threw you under
Dan,
the bus.
If you're listening. And I wasn't making fun of her. I'm just poking fun and having fun with the fact that she just doesn't like sports. And that's fine because, for the most part, sports are pretty meaningless. She focuses on important things.
590
like,
the Fan, your sports talk leader.
But besides,
Chuck Marlowe just announced sports are meaningless.
No, I'm saying in the grand scheme of life. I feel like, you know, we try to do sports and entertain people for a couple hours every day, and it gets them away from their busy lives, and that's fantastic. But she did say, when I asked her, do you know who Giancarlo Stanton is? She says, sarcastically, no, I've actually been living under a rock for the past month. Yes, I know who he is. I say, are you mad? She says, slightly. So I'm wondering,
then she says,
mad?
Whatever you do, don't read all of this on the air.
No, but listen. So I say, why? And she says, because you are a chocolate hog. And then she types in an emoji of a pig. And look at this. Here's what happens. Yesterday, I go shopping. I'm off work at Fox 2. I try to do something nice for her. She's 33 weeks pregnant. I get her some dark chocolate that she really likes. I bought her a poinsettia. I even got her some sparkling grape juice because obviously she can't drink right now with the pregnancy. I wanted to have a nice little night. Got her a couple treats, right? So I'm out raking the leaves.
Wait on, that sounds like the dog. I got her a couple of treats.
That's true.
Here, Jess.
I should have described
it. Sorry. Otis is on my lap right
differently.
Now. A couple of treats.
But what I'm trying to say is, so I got her some nice things. She ate about half of the dark chocolate bar that I got her. And then she goes to sleep. I stay up way later. So as she's sleeping last night, I'm starting to watch TV, and I did finish the rest of the chocolate. And I think she was mad just about 10:15 when she texted me. I was on the show here, and she said, did you eat the rest of the chocolate? I did, and I actually knew she was kind of going to be mad. So I took all the wrappers and made sure I threw them away so she couldn't see them.
And then you write back, yes, I did. It was right after I finished raking the yard.
Yeah.
You add something that you did that was positive to the list.
And tonight, I'm going to paint the nursery. So here we go.
Is that like a euphemism for something?
No, I'm actually...
Like you're going to get hammered and fall down the steps? Like, oh, Chuck painted the nursery last night.
Well, I probably will have a few beers while I do it, but I will be painting the nursery tonight.
Was the chocolate good? The
chocolate was very good. It was worth it. And I said...
Did you have any regrets while you were doing it thinking this could come back to haunt me? And you just did it anyway?
No, because she was sleeping, and I figured she probably would be a little mad, but I can buy her another one today.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, I don't like looking at other people's phones or emails, because sometimes you work with people and you'll be typing at your computer And then somebody over your shoulder is like, oh, you're writing your sister? And you turn around and you're like, excuse me? And they're like reading what you're doing. It's really weird. But I just saw your phone and it popped up with, it's not an emoji, but it's a huge picture. It just says,
it's a bitmoji.
Fake news. And I don't know if that's what that is in response to our current conversation.
Kind of. I'll read on. So I say, why are you slightly mad? She says, because you are a chocolate hog.
True.
Puts the pig emoji, and then she does a winky face, so she's clearly not really mad. So I say, okay, I thought it was radio related. We were joking about our wives not caring about sports. She says, oh no, I'm used to you publicly making fun of me. And then I respond, stop, I never do that.
Stop.
It's poke fun. She responds with the bitmoji of herself, and it says fake news.
Are you getting the middle finger? Or no, those are fingers pointing to the air.
Pointing to the air.
Kind of
like Texas Tech Red Raiders.
I'm pretty sure neither one of us did the Daniel Stern from Diner before he got married. She had to pass the sports test. Remember that? She's in the basement being quizzed because he was like a Baltimore Colts fanatic or something weird. And he wouldn't marry this girl unless she could pass this really intense sports quiz. I prefer it the opposite way.
I do too. I love the fact that she's really not that into sports because, again, if you're doing TV for 8 hours a day and radio for 1 to 3 hours a day, depending on the day, do you want to go back and just watch more sports? But every once in a while, like Monday Night Football, I think we talked about this, where it was a 20-20 game, less than 3 minutes to go, Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals the other night.
Wanted to keep watching because somebody may, in fact, get decapitated.
Correct. And she kind of just said, are you into this? But I don't think she even looked at the screen. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it said 45-7... I think she'd be like, all right, we can change the channel. I don't think she looked up and saw the fact that it was 2020 with about 2.5 minutes to go.
Hoff, one of our great sponsors.
Dr. Michael Jones. For all your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 1-866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones is a longtime friend of the show and practices complete eye care in the metro area. From routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery, Dr. Jones can get it done for you. Board certified in ophthalmology, and he's an assistant professor at St. Louis University. He sees patients at several locations in the St. Louis area. When you call in, tell him Frank sent you, and of course, our title sponsor, Hollywood Casino. A-list service experience, unrivaled gaming action, award-winning dining in a lavish hotel, an electric nightlife at Hollywood Casino with bars right in the center of the action. There's no place like Hollywood Casino St. Louis. And Martin, you mentioned the listener rewards. 70% off a two-night stay at Hollywood Casino on InsideSTL.com.
Mike right Claiborne, now. America's guest, was just out there over the weekend, according to Frank.
He had a good time, evidently.
Joe Buck coming up at 12:05. I mentioned that he's a finalist for the Ford C. Frick Award. That's going to be announced next week, I guess during the winter meetings, December 13th, which is next Wednesday. Here are your finalists, to remind you of the list. Buddy Blattner, again, a St. Louis name. Joe Buck, Bob Costas, Dizzy Dean. All these St. Louis connections, it's unbelievable. Don Drysdale, Al Michaels, Joe Morgan, and Pee Wee Reese. The winner is going to be announced the 13th at the winter meetings. We'll be honored, obviously, next summer, Cooperstown. They would be posthumous for Blattner, Dean, Drysdale, or Reese. This year's nominees are part of the National Voices category of the Frick Award, part of a 3-year cycle for the award that also includes current major league markets. Announcers that work for a specific team, like the Royals guy a couple of years ago, Denny Matthews, got in. Pioneers, early voices, so it's all of the above. An electorate of 11 living Frick Award recipients and 4 broadcast historians will conduct the final voting. The living Frick Award recipient panel, these are guys that will be chiming in. Marty Brenneman, Reds longtime announcer, Dick Enberg, Jaime Harin, Tony Kubek, Denny Matthews, Tim McCarver, John Miller, Eric Nadel, Vin Scully, Bob Uecker, Dave Van Horn. They will, David Halberstam's part of it, Barry Horn. Anyway, you get the point. It's a lot of big-time names chiming in.
Isn't David Halberstam dead?
I thought so. I'm glad you said that and I didn't say it.
I thought he passed away years ago.
Didn't he have a terrible car wreck in San Francisco?
I think so.
Legendary writer. Chuck usually brings the deaths to the table. Can you check that real quick?
I'm pretty sure I read David Halberstam's book.
Summer of something?
Teammates.
I read that in October 1964.
Great book.
Kurt yes. Smith, who's sort of that biographer for Voices of the Game, he's on the panel. I think it's impossible to pick one of those. And I think you're right. A guy like Joe's going to be in there. You haven't called all these big games. Costas doesn't do as many games, or hasn't, but he did for a while. NBC 30 years ago, the game of the week. Dizzy Dean, I believe, not only did Cardinal games, but did some national stuff. That's a pretty, it's a pretty impressive list.
April 2007, David Halberstam passed away.
Look at this. I'm telling you, the living, an electorate of 11 living Frick Award recipients and four broadcast historians will conduct the final voting. The historian slash columnists are David Halberstam, Barry Horn, Ted Patterson, Kurt Smith. Yeah. Maybe we should let them know.
Okay, here we go. David J. Halberstam is the EVP GM of Westwood One Sports.
Oh. Is he related?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That'd be kind of freaky if people are like, dude, we thought you were dead. No, that's not me. David J. Halberstam. That's why when there's a serial killer, they always give the middle name. For a while, I thought it was just because really weird people that were like, Billy Bob Simmons. Like, ooh, sounds like a serial killer. I always thought that was how they had, you know, would say their name, that they included the middle part. But apparently, in a murder or a serial killer, they do that just so there's no confusion. That's why they give you the full name.
Here we go, full circle. David J. Halberstam was a play-by-play announcer for St. John's basketball, where the Tampa serial killer played.
Oh, my God.
Full circle. The one they just caught.
Oh, my God.
Wow, what's your middle name?
Joseph.
Martin Joseph Kilcoyne.
So if I'm ever a serial killer, everybody will know my middle name.
Charles Leonard.
Leonard.
Marlowe. But nobody actually calls these people by their middle name until they become
That's
a killer or an
John
assassin.
John Wilkes Booth.
Right. Everybody called him John Booth, though, I promise you.
Right, yeah.
Until he...
John Wayne Gacy. Do you think they called him John Gacy?
Probably.
It sounds or more clown, creepy.
Clown Mark guy. David Chapman?
Yeah, he was
Mark
the...
Mark Chapman? Chappie?
Shot John Lennon?
Yes.
Lee Harvey Oswald?
Allegedly. We better take a break. Jeff Rainford is going to talk about the Scott Trade Center and the Blues trying to work all those lawsuits out. We'll get to that next on 590 The Fan.